Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
And God bless you, Jimmy Lakey, wherever you are. You have been announcing this program for 15 years, and I appreciate it so much. Welcome to all of you who have decided to tune in to Call to Freedom. I'm so glad you are tuning in for us today, and I believe we're going to have a message that is going to go to your heart and is going to change you. Wisdom is a blessing. Walk in it. Joy is a gift. Be generous with it. Prayer is a privilege. Act on it. Love is a miracle. Be God's messenger. Isn't that beautiful? So we're asking God today, and both Kimberly and I are, we're asking God to give you wisdom and understanding in everything that you're connected to today. Joy unspeakable and full of glory for you. And as you pray, may every request that you make to God be met in Jesus' name. Love and love and love. Surround yourself with love and speak love to everyone who crosses your path. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And welcome to the program, Kimberly.
Thank you. Would you repeat that love part for me? You went through that list and I was actually taking notes and I missed. Love is what?
Love
what
is a miracle.
Is a miracle.
Be God's messenger. Yes.
Be God's messenger. I just feel like that is exactly what I want to be talking about today when it comes to reconciliation. It is a miracle to take these hearts and the old patterns, the old thought patterns, and turn it so much that we can be God's messengers of love to everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Including those people you're talking about today as we were talking together. Those people that have been offended, they've been negative, and now they've got something against you. Mm-hmm.
and love. So, you know, when we go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, I have so many Bibles out here in front of me.
Yeah, I even copied down the Passion, because the Passion does say something different from the King James Version, the New American Standard, the Living, and the Message. It's a little bit different, yes.
It is. And, you know, I used to be one of those that, okay, which one's right? Let's find the one that's most accurate and most right. Until I realized that God is so deep in his understanding that to look for the right and the wrong is actually the wrong way to go. You just need to trust that whatever God is speaking to your heart through these images and these pictures is going to get through. He is the message. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. And he will guide our hearts to the truth.
That's right.
So, yes, Matthew 5, if we're reading in the Passion Translation, starting in verse 23, it says, "So then, if you are presenting a gift before the altar in the temple, and suddenly you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go at once to apologize to the one who is offended. Then, after you have reconciled, come to the altar and present your gift." And you read it to me. Did you write it out in the New American Standard?
I have a New King James Version that I had typed out.
Would you read that?
Okay. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
Right. So that words it differently.
Yes, it does. I'm thinking, though, now I've done that many times in my life. I've gone to somebody that I know I've either hurt or that we're just not connecting like we used to, and they would not forgive me.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen at times.
Yes.
But before we jump to that part,
okay.
Looking at the way that this is worded, I think for a long time, when I read this section of the Bible and these scriptures here, these passages, I would think of people who had hurt me and offended me, and I'd want to come bring my praises to the Lord at church, and I'd be standing there thinking about how offended I was or how hurt I was because somebody said something or did something to hurt me. And of course we want that healed. It's hard to go to them and try to work that out, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're the one who's offended and hurt. Now, the New King James that you just read from, that says that if you remember your brother has something against you,
mm-hmm. Yes.
You might not have bad feelings at all about that other person. Whatever happened might have been something you would just shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's not so bad. They need to get over it.
That's right.
But if you are remembering that they can't get over it, then that's when God is asking you to leave your offering. Don't just ignore that. Go ahead and go to them and ask for reconciliation. Ask for a bridge to be built. Can we somehow work this out so that there won't be the animosity between us? Now, I understand there are situations where people are so hard-hearted that, and until the Holy Spirit is the one who's asking you to go, it might not be a good idea to try and force it. You know, it's
right.
Got to be in God's timing.
Yes.
So I do understand that. But I also know the flip side where you might be thinking, but it's not my problem. It's their problem. They're the ones who have bad feelings toward me, mm-hmm. and they need to get over it. Because
yeah.
I don't have bad feelings at all. I don't regret what I said, or I don't regret what I did. You know, you might not feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you didn't even do anything that was offensive. I'm in a situation like that. I haven't done anything that was offensive, and the Holy Spirit has actually confirmed that to me. You're right. You have done nothing. And they still have bad feelings against you. Will you go to them?
Yes. Yeah.
So being the one who is soft-hearted enough to say, I am willing. I will go. Send me. God is so concerned about reconciliation. He so much wants reconciliation with his people that he's asking his people to get involved and be part of that reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19 is a section here that's talking about that. Let me read it from the Passion Translation first. It says, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world. Oh, I love that picture, because a good shepherd is taking care of all the little sheep and all their different little personalities, their fears, their insecurities, even their stubbornness. He's just taking care. He's shepherding the
yes.
world, not even keeping records of their transgressions.
That's right.
And he has entrusted to us this same ministry. We're not keeping records.
Mm-hmm.
And opening the door of reconciliation to God. Oh, that's a good way to put that. I was reading in the New American Standard same scripture verses from 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Yes.
He did this work through Christ. When Jesus showed us how willing he was to be torn apart and sacrificed, nailed to a cross, and truly poured out, emptied out of all his blood, all of his life, and saying from that cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That is true forgiveness and reconciliation. And now, every time we enter into that, we are fulfilling God's dream. We're helping him have his dream come true.
Mm.
I really am quite overwhelmed by the idea that there are 8 billion people on this planet currently. I think I talk about it a lot, but I'm truly mind blown. I cannot grasp that God is so full of faith that somehow 8 billion people shall be reconciled because of his sacrifice, because of his love. That's why I wanted you to repeat, love is a miracle. Be
right,
God's messenger of love. Yes.
It is. And knowing that once and for all, he was hanging on the cross, and that offering was once and for all time. Past, present, and future sins are forgiven when we come to Jesus Christ and make him our Savior and Lord. All 8 billion people are included in that, Kimberly.
Yes.
As they turn their hearts toward God and toward mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I think what makes it hard is when we see the damage that's being done by those who are not walking in the newness of the new creation life that God has offered.
That's
God
right.
has offered that.
Yes.
You know, and when people are not walking in the newness of that and they're walking in the old flesh patterns and the old creation life, that's harmful. It does a lot of harm.
Yes. Now here you are talking about Matthew 5 in the Passion. It really applies to your fellow believer, brother and sister. It says right here, you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer. And if we've all gone to churches long enough that we get entangled in some of these issues in church, and we're in divisions even in church. One side wants the carpet blue, and the other side wants no carpet, and we get into these arguments. And so we have to be really astute as to our fellow brothers and sisters, that there is nothing between us and them and God. Especially
right.
more than the world.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we know we're not going to agree with the world. It's not compatible.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's very true. That's a completely, yes. And I believe that God wants us out there as light to the world. So even as we offer love and offer those bridges of peace and reconciliation to the world, that will be the light. That will be the love. God inviting them into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can plant seeds. We just can't
yes.
make them accept those seeds, and we can't make those seeds sprout.
That's right.
And that's where we let others do the watering, and we let God, in his timing, bring people around. I just love knowing that we can join God in his faith for the world and believe with him that he will have his dream come true.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
He will see us reconciled.
Now, as you were saying, when you come to someone who has, for some reason, has anger towards you, or it's just been a series of complications. Now, when you ask forgiveness for maybe something you did not do, you don't even understand, but do you apologize? You say, I'm so sorry, I feel like there's a division between us, and I want to apologize to you. Then you become, if they say no, 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 then you become an intercessor of sorts, and you begin to pray down those walls of anger and pride and jealousy and fear and all kinds of unforgiveness, maybe, for
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Yes. Then you become an intercessor also. Yes.
Yes.
And that's,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a real assignment.
Now,
wow.
It is. It is. We don't always have to be the ones that are apologizing and asking for forgiveness. And that's the other way that it's worded differently in different translations. You're going back to Matthew 5. Verses 23 and 24 in the New American Standard, and I believe it's very close to the New King James. Mm-hmm. If you're presenting your offering at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there. First be reconciled to your brother. That doesn't say go apologize, go ask them for forgiveness, but be reconciled. I believe that in kindness and in gentleness, we can go to people and say, do we really have to have something between us here? Can we be friends again?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to make this right so that we can become friends and trust each other again?
Yes. Now, right before the 23rd verse, Jesus is saying, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, that's heaven, and if you say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. For instance, if a brother in your church that you've really respected, he has an affair, and he gets a divorce, you're angry with him because he disrupted what you felt was a great relationship. That brings anger into the scenario. I've seen it.
It does. I like where this is going.
I've seen it.
I like where you're going with this. Right, because when we become angry, and in our anger, we start name-calling. Calling them Raca means the same as you're just good for nothing.
That's right.
It's cursing them, mm-hmm. you know, and it's saying horrible things about them. Well, they are still created in the image of God. Every single human being is created in his image. Whether they choose to walk in his image or not is up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the right to call them good for nothing.
That's right.
We don't have the right to curse them and say that they're horrible and that we wish they had never been born. They should never have been born. That's not up to us. That's judging it.
That's right.
We can be angry, and that's, you know, that's going back to the idea of being angry and not sinning in the anger.
Mm-hmm.
In the anger, sometimes we sin and we end up doing more damage than good. And the reason why I said I like where this is going, I originally wanted to give this a title today. I wanted to call it Infections, Mice, and Kitchen Renovations.
All right.
And of course, I would have to explain a lot of that because.
Yes. Do you still have a mouse problem?
Ugh.
Oh, Kim, do you know what? All this pounding and all this sawing and all this loud noise has probably disrupted their little
attracted
nest.
Them?
Yeah, or disrupted the nest wherever it is.
No,
oh.
I have no idea. You know, I just really believe that God was allowing me to see one more round, one more bout.
Oh.
And it was just so loud, you know, and they... When I talked about the mice a few months ago, I recognized that mice are in the attic. And so in the attic of our human being is our mind. Mm-hmm. Those thoughts in our mind will either lead us to rest or lead us mm-hmm. to unrest and disease. You know, mm-hmm. mice carry diseases with them.
Yes.
And we can either have disease and disease with our thoughts, or we can enter ease, which is peace and calm.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the choice. We are the ones with the choice. sometimes those thought patterns are so ingrained in us that we feel like we don't have a choice, but we really do. If you're willing to take it to God and say, I let go of this, I can't fix me, but you can.
Yes.
And I need you to fix this. I need you to give me a new thought life, new thought patterns. Oh, he loves prayers like that. Mm-hmm. And he is faithful and will change your thought patterns. He
yes.
will.
Yes.
So the mice a few months ago were just an indicator to me. Watch your thoughts. Start giving every thought to the Lord and enter his rest. Enter that peace that he has for you. So when this next little round of mice came around just in this last week, it was just shocking to me because this one mouse found the exact same hole that I had patched. And I was told mice don't like steel wool. So pack steel wool into the places where they've been. And we did that. We did it in the attic. We did it in the wall where we had found them. We packed it in. This mouse was not afraid of steel wool. And it just moved it aside or did whatever it needed to do and got past that. And it got past the bait, both above and in the wall. And it tore through one strand at a time, tore through the patch, the grid-like patch that I had put on the wall.
Oh my
After
goodness.
It tore through the patch, it dug through the putty that I had already repaired the wall with. And it was so noisy. It was so loud. It was in the middle of the night.
Oh.
And I said, surely not. And I went to the wall and yep, there it was. I started seeing little specks of dust coming on my side of the wall. And then through a pinpoint hole, a little tiny nose was just starting to poke through. I know.
Kimberly,
it was, you know, when it's in, I
in
know,
the middle
when
of the
it's
night.
In the middle
yes.
of the night
oh.
and it's dark. It's really kind of a freaky thing.
That's right. And he wasn't Gus Gus, you know.
No.
He wasn't that beautiful.
Well, maybe
precious.
It was Gus Gus. I don't know. I went ahead and put masking tape immediately over the hole that he was in, and then packing tape on top of that,
oh,
you know, and
goodness.
Duct tape. And I'm like, okay, no, you are not getting through. And then I got a bucket, and I put the bucket in front of it, and I put a dresser in front of the bucket so the bucket would not move.
Oh my goodness. If you're just joining us today, Kimberly is in the middle of a story of forgiveness for some reason.
Exactly. I am coming back around to
yes.
that.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I'm not going to be able to finish today, but the whole point is that all of our efforts to try to get rid of those thoughts, those mm-hmm. pesky little thoughts.
Yes.
Our own efforts, you know, and therapy is great. It is. And going to counselors, that's wonderful. Whether it's vitamins or some kind of supplements, whatever it is that helps you balance the brain chemicals, it's all good. It just cannot do what our God can do.
That's right.
Our God is more than able to eliminate, to pull up from the roots, to get every tiny little pestilence out of our thoughts
yes.
and our thought life and make us new and give us a new heart. And that's what he did with Saul when Samuel prayed over Saul to be the king, the very first king over Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, in verse 6, Samuel tells him, you will become another man. And then Samuel lists all the signs that will happen to him. And then in verse 9, as Saul turned around to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart.
Mm.
So here's the free gift that God is giving of a brand new heart. And with that heart comes the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It's been given to us as a gift.
Yes.
And when we choose to go back to our old patterns, our old ways of thinking, our old ways of doing things, you know, because that's the way our mother did it. That's the way our father did it. You know, that's the way we do it in our family. We do it this way. Well, those old patterns are just going to keep us in dis-ease, in unrest, and we'll keep just gnawing away, digging away.
That's right.
We don't want that. No. We want peace. We want to enter God's rest. And so coming into alignment with His Word and being reconciled, even when you don't feel like it, but because He is the God of reconciliation, He's the God of forgiveness, He's asking His people to be that too. And I have more to share about this. I do see
We
are getting down to the last couple of minutes here.
Yes.
So if you don't mind me inviting myself back tomorrow.
No, it's your birthday week, girl. So I'm going to just have you do what you need to do. I don't want to see one last thing. God did not want Israel to have a human king. He wanted to be king over them. And He told Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all they say to you. For they have not rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. So from the very beginning, He didn't want a human king. But in His mercy and love, Kimberly, His mercy and love, He allowed this for His people. Such love.
Yes, I want to come back to that. We've got so much more to say.
Oh, yes, yes. So I do invite you again tomorrow. This is going to be a wonderful time of reconciling the Word of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Oh, His love is, well, His love is a miracle. Like I said today at the beginning of the program.
Yes, and His peace is so much greater than any human peace that we could look for. His peace passes human understanding. Mm-hmm. And we want to find ourselves in that peace.
Yes.
So we invite you to come back tomorrow to hear more about that. And thank you for tuning in with us today. We are praying over you. As you are listening to us, we know that you need a touch from God, and we're praying that you would experience His peace and His love in your life, and that that reconciliation would bring you great joy. So the last thing we want to say to you today is
take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.